How are you? I wasn't quite sure what was going to be happening this morning, whether we were going to have a crowd or a few people or whatever. Wasn't sure if people split their time between today or tomorrow and decide what they're going to do. Who's coming tomorrow as well? Not bad, yes. I am. And tonight, we've got some great services coming up, 11:30 tonight, the communion. If you want that time to withdraw from just what's going on all around and just have a quiet 3/4 hour reflecting on God and his wonderful gift at Christmas time, we just have a beautiful service in the boardroom there, and so do come for that. And then tomorrow morning is at what time?
10 o'clock.
So that's because apparently there's things like cooking going on tomorrow, things like that. So if you we can get away a bit earlier, so 10 o'clock here, not 10:30, 10 o'clock here. And mind you, 10:30 is not that far different from when people usually arrive, I guess. But it is 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Right, my title today was Glory to God? ? That's the series we've been doing with various statements from the Bible around the Christmas story. And so the strap line for today is, where is the glory in the story? So do you want to say that back to me? Where is the glory in the story? You can do it better than that. Once more. Where is the glory in the story? So we're in Luke chapter 2, and Luke chapter 2 starts with the narrative of Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem, and they put themselves up in a luxury 5-star hotel. There are not many no's there. Where do they put themselves up? Where did Mary and Joseph put themselves up? They didn't. They had to force an innkeeper. Sort of. I didn't know that bit of the story, but I always assumed he was willing, but maybe they did force him. Maybe they just used moral pressure. You know, you can't throw us out from here. So, and it says, the time came for the baby to be born. The baby was born, and Mary put the baby in a manger. Now, I don't have a manger here. I've got a little work box here with some work stuff in it. No, I don't. Work stuff's been taken out of it. But I just picked up a box from home. It didn't actually have that in it. I hasten to add. This is a box that I acquired many years ago and is empty when I got it. I used to have my train set in it. I did. Pardon? Oh. Somebody said they got whiskey, but apparently I got it out of my shed this morning and threw all the stuff out of it, and I thought, I'd never read the outside of it before. I thought, oh, I'm committed to this now for this morning, but never mind. There we go. And Mary took this manger, and she went and got a whole bunch of bedding stuff, and she instead of the straw, maybe she used the straw for all I know, but she filled it up with various things to make it comfortable and put the baby in it. Is it the right way up? Right, okay. Swaddled. It's brilliant, actually, this. I remember seeing it with our kids sometimes when they were a bit fractious. If you get them and you kind of wrap it round their arm and you kind of pull it tight round them like this, they feel really safe. Just when they were very young. Not when they're 16. And you wrap it round them nice and tight like that. It's quite interesting how sometimes they'll just go really, really still because they feel secure and safe and wrapped up. Isn't that true? Yeah. And then she put her in the crib, in the whiskey box. And you didn't know that. That's another new bit for Christmas, so you know now. Okay. So there you go. So that's going on in Bethlehem. Up in the hills, there are a bunch of shepherds. Now, they have a problem because they don't know it's Christmas Eve. Why don't they know it's Christmas Eve? It's never happened before. They say, you and I know that this has happened. This is true. They haven't a clue that the whole of history is going to change. They're just up on the hillside, cracking their normal jokes, looking at their normal sheep, whatever they do with their sheep. And suddenly, what happens? Go on, let's have an answer. What happens to these angels on the An angel appears. They know the answer. I know they know the answer. I don't know what you're like, but I think I would have been, well, I don't think I'd have had many words, actually. I think I'd have just been stunned, jaw dropped, pinned to the ground, looking at this great light, and this angel says, fear not. Let me just read this, actually. It says, and there were shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and the angel of the Lord appeared, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. There's that word glory. Let's hear the strap line. Where's the glory in the story? So the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Sure right they were. The angel said to them, don't be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Here's the Messiah, the Lord. The Messiah. They've heard about that figure. They've been hoping for that figure. This will be the sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Well, babies were common enough, but lying in a manger wasn't that common. And they thought, wow. But they didn't say anything about it because they were too stunned. Then what happens to that angel? A whole army of other angels turned up. Actually, we always think of them singing, but maybe it's only what they said here. Maybe they sang, maybe they didn't sing. I don't know how they moved around either. We're going to have angels with wings. We're going to do an angel with a wing in a moment, but we don't know if they flew with wings or whether they... I don't know how angels propel themselves. Maybe they have jet skis. I don't know. But suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace on those on whom his favor rests. There's the word glory again. So glory to God in the highest heaven. And when the angel left them, the angel said, we better go and see what's going on down there in Bethlehem. We better go down to the city of David. So they go down to the city of David, and they find Mary and Joseph and the baby just as they had been told. Just as they had been told. Lovely phrase, that. Just as they had been told. What did they do after that? They couldn't keep their mouths shut. They went out. Can you imagine what you'd be like going out after that? You'd just be, do you know what happened tonight? Do you know what happened? And they went out and they told everybody, and everyone was amazed. And it said, Mary, she treasured up all these things in her heart. It was like, this is amazing. Where did these shepherds come from? And all this wonderful story. And then, what's the last thing it says the shepherds did? After telling everybody, they worshipped. They worshipped God. Why did they worship? They worshipped God because everything was just as they had been told. They worshiped God because everything was just as they had been told. Where's the glory in the story? We're going to come back to that in a little moment, but we're going to just focus on the word glory for a moment. Now, the word glory is a funny word, isn't it? Because we use the word glory, but you know, if you ask what does it mean and try and get a definition, it's not always that easy, is it? I don't know if you find that sometimes with words. We use words, and then someone says, what does that mean? You think, well, what does it mean? It's a good question, that one. When I think about glory, I think of, like those shepherds, what are the things we want to run out and talk about? Now, I know that some of the things, if you'd ask me what I've run out and talked about, sporting things, for instance. Who remembers Gazza's goal? You remember Gazza's goal? His famous, you know, what does he do? What does he do in his famous goal? No, how did he score it? Do you remember that one? There we are. Yeah, thank you. Christian's got it. He gets the ball past him. He flicks it over his head, over the defender, down the other side, bang in the goal. And you know, you went to school the next day. You're a bit younger than me. You went out the next day, and all your mates were talking about, did you see Gazza's goal? How brilliant was that? The other thing, any of you remember Colin Cowdrey, the old cricketer? I remember watching some cricket, and this guy, he just went with his bat, just... This was when he was very old and he was just about finishing his career. He just went, hardly moved the bat, and this ball goes, bang, four runs. And the commentator said, Cowdery just put that ball for four. It was absolutely perfect. He had such perfect timing, just four runs. You think, where do you get that timing from? Dad, did you see that? He didn't move the bat. He just, unbelievable. Let's get some things. What are things which have been so unbelievable you have to tell everybody? Let's get some opinions. Can you just think about some things in your life that have been so unbelievable? You've said, that is so amazing. I've got to tell somebody about that one. John, you've had a lot of experiences in your life. Something so amazing you had to go out and tell people about it. When Terry Wake was released from prison. Yeah. That was years. And yeah, Roger. Yeah. And you were there. Do you remember what year it was?
1954.
I was one. Wow. You were there. Wow. Amazing. That's not that far. You were five, yeah. I was on the cadet camp and I was watching that. Amazing, seeing the men getting on the move. Anything else stand out which you just had to go out and talk about the next day? Your child being born. I mean, some of those things, when you like getting engaged. I can remember when I got engaged and my parents and Marion's parents didn't know. And I kept bumping into friends. And I was thinking, I want to tell them I've just got engaged to this most fantastic person in the whole world. Yeah. And... and I couldn't tell anybody because I wanted to tell my parents and my married parents first. And you had to keep your mouth shut. And it's like that with a baby, isn't it? There's those big things in life. You just think, I've got to tell people, ring them up, the baby's been born. And that's glory, isn't it? Because you have to talk about it. So the question is, with Christmas together, where is the glory in the story? What is the thing we have to talk about? Where is the glory in the story? Now we're going to do some craft about glory. How are we doing for time? Woo. So perhaps we can grab the table. There's going to be four things you can do. You can either come to these little tables down here, and there's either a colouring in sheet with the story of the shepherds, which you can colour in, or a blank bit of paper. You can just draw anything which represents glory to you. Or you can help Marion and whoever up here. We've got two things to do. We've got to decorate an angel here to go on this big image here. So if you're slightly bigger, you can come and help do this one. And we've got to get this one ready with some decorations on that one to take the angel. And that this will go up in here to represent glory in the middle. Or if you want to stay sitting there, we're going to have some lovely music playing. And there'll be some beautiful images to go with it. Okay? So make your choice. Decorate, colouring in things over there with Cecily, doing these things up here with the big demonstration, big thing for the big banner for the wall. Or sitting there and listening and watching. Okay, thank you. Music. Pardon? Well, yes, I think we. Well,
if
anywhere. Yeah, it depends. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if you can help, can you help here? That's the centre.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, just here.
Yeah. Those things always take longer than you think, don't they? No. Might be tomorrow if I go over, but today it's not.
Christmas.
Chris doing tomorrow, or are you?
I've got tonight and tomorrow.
Right. Have you got the songs for tonight?
Yeah.
Stuart's
going to just. Stuart's today. He was going to send them around. He's having this today.
All right.
Yeah. A lot of things in the Bible that talk about people not finding the glory where they think the glory is. Keep missing falling stars. oh, sorry about this. So in the Old Testament, there's a story about a prophet called Elijah, and he has a really, really difficult experience. And he's pretty cross with God, and he runs off, and God feeds him, and eventually gets to this mountain, and God says to him to go up on the mountain. And it has these very interesting lines where it says God speaks to him, and there's, as he's on the mountain, there's a violent wind. And it says, but God isn't in the wind. And then there's a big earthquake, and it says, but God isn't in the earthquake. And then there's a small voice, and it says that Elijah wrapped the cloak around him because he knew that was God's voice. And so the big dramatic thing, that wasn't where God was speaking to him. Where God was speaking to him was in that still small voice. 1 Corinthians 13, it's often read at big occasions because it says lots of lovely things about love. But it says, you know, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, those are miraculous tongues. It says, but don't have love, I am a sounding gong or a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. You know, it says I can speak in prophecies and understand mysteries. But if I don't have love, it just doesn't count for anything. It says I can even give my body, and it's talking about martyrdom, but if I don't do it with love, I'm nothing. You know, and we can sometimes think some things which look very big and impressive in terms of even spiritual things in a church, we can think that's where the glory is because it's impressive. But actually, God said, actually, it's not, because what's really impressive is what's in here, that actually there's love, and there's that love that changes the way we look at this world and other people. There's within us that joy that comes from a wonderful place. Now, I know that for many of us, there are things that happen in our lives that make these things very broken and hard. But, you know, God just builds that joy right in here. That peace, same thing, that a lot of us have our peace threatened because of a lot of experiences. But those things that God does deep in our lives that makes us different people, The inner being gets changed, so we're loving, we have joy, we have his peace, we have those other lovely qualities, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, those things that almost sometimes people can ignore because they're not dramatic. God says, actually, that's the glory. And the reason why this is the glory and the story is because this doesn't show God's power first and foremost. This doesn't show God's splendor first and foremost. What this shows first and foremost is God's love. That he said, I love you so much that I'm willing to leave my glory of heaven and come to your earth, which is very, very difficult because there's all sorts of things wrong there and this life won't be easy, but I'm going to come there so that I can bless you. That's how much I love you. Where's the glory in the story? Glory to God, ? This act of Jesus coming into the world, living his life, dying for us, taking away our sins, has changed the course of human history. And the glory in the story is what God has achieved for you and for me and for mankind by coming. And I praise God for that. We're going to finish on that note, but I want to pray first, and then we're going to have to sing a couple of songs. But let me just pray for us. I want to pray that each of us would see God's glory this Christmas time. Father God, I pray that for every single one of us, whether we're young children here or whether we're some of those of us who are quite a bit older, Father, that just in a fresh way again, we would see your glory this Christmas. Lord, thank you for those things that are so dramatic, like the angel and that wonderful experience those shepherds had. But Father, we know that your true glory is your love and your compassion and your graciousness and your faithfulness. And I pray, Lord, for each of us this Christmas that we would find you as the God who's near us and who's gracious to us. And we know your love, that love that surpasses knowledge. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.